This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, with Christopher John O'Shea.
How about that?
Missing in action.
Recently, yeah. Once a month, I give Tom more opportunity to spend time with you to bring out his Italian side, but yeah. It's good to be back.
There you go. It's good to have you back. And tonight, Christopher, we are on another open show.
Sure.
And so next week we'll do our night before Thanksgiving show, where we're going to be talking about charitable giving and why that's important, and some of the things that you can do to be charitably involved. And we believe that that's an important piece of everyone's personal finances, is to be charitably inclined. So anyway, we'll be talking about that next week. But tonight is an open show. The listeners get to direct the conversation. The listeners get to be our guests this night. They get to call in and say, this is what I want to hear you talk about. This is important to me. This is a topic that if I can find an answer on will be extremely beneficial to me. And so if you want to call in and ask a question on Social Security or Medicare, we're here to help you. If you want to call in and ask a question on investments or insurances, we're here to answer your questions for you. You know, our firm is a fee-only professional advisory firm. We believe that that's the way all professional financial advisors ought to operate, and they should be knowledgeable and experienced in all areas of personal finances. So if somebody calls in, and we've been doing this show for, we did it for 6 or 7 years in the 1990s, and now we've been doing it for almost 10 years since 2007. And very rarely can somebody call in here and ask us a question on personal finances that we cannot assist them in some technical way on, and helping you find the answer that you're looking for and give you some guidance and direction. So tonight's your night to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and lead the direction of the conversation tonight, it's your opportunity.
It's year end is happening, so there's some tax things that people could talk about, but you'd rather they don't ask you about the tax bills that are making their way through Congress.
We're going to just mention the tax bill.
Yeah.
You know, the individual tax bill is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's an absolute waste of time, as I said today to our team when I was talking to them, because I had to go to a tax seminar to get an update for 2017 preparation. You always go and hear what are the latest tax cases, what are some of the new changes, if any. You know, and there are a lot of little things that have happened in 2017 you got to be prepared for. But if somebody's going to teach a tax update, they've got to tell you what they thinking is what might happen in a tax overhaul. And so they went through the individual potential House bill, Senate bill, et cetera, et cetera. What a waste of time. I mean, these politicians are just, you know, I don't even know what they're thinking about, because the individual tax law is like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. That's really what it is. It's shifting this way and that way. And, you know, so one person's going to lose and one person's going to win. And depending on whether you had this or that is going to depend upon whether you're going to win or lose, you know, and so forth in this new tax proposal. It's a waste of time. But why are they doing it? The answer is that really the big reform is the corporate tax reform. That's big. That's a significant overhaul.
Game changer.
With a game changer tax rate reduction. But they feel that it, from a PR point of view, and this is how stupid the Republicans are. I mean, they're pretty dumb. You know,
someone once said they're the stupid party.
They're the stupid party, and the Democrats are the party of the mean people.
Right.
You know, and even though they talk about love and kumbaya all the time, you know, but you know, the stupid party, they are so stupid it isn't funny. So they think that from a PR point of view, they've got to get an individual tax overhaul in so that they can get the corporate thing through that they really want. Well, you know, I mean, it's so obvious it isn't funny, you know? I mean, if they really wanted to do some significant personal tax reform, they could have really done it and made a big corporate and personal. But they don't. They're not looking to do that. They just really want the corporate, and they're now going to rearrange the chairs on the deck of the Titanic and give us this ridiculous individual tax over. They call it, you know, when George Bush Sr. and Reagan's team called that 86 Tax Act simplification, it started off simplification and it ended up simpler.
Sure.
But it wasn't certainly simplification. This one, they're using the word simpler and postcard. The only one that's going to be sending in a postcard are the guys that are already doing a 1040 easy. Everyone else, their tax return is going to get a lot more complicated. So,
well, sure. Well, to figure out how they did before versus how they're doing now, but they do expect that the numbers will increase by almost, you know, by 40% of who will just do a simple return, take the standard deduction.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that, but certainly not simplification. There's no way you can say that.
No, one thing we know, it keeps people, tax preparers, in business.
Well, you know, when they say it's going to be, you know, make, you know, a lot more people that are going to take the standard deduction, you know, you take all your people over 65 and you take away their medical expense deduction, and you take away their state and local income tax deduction, most of those people don't have any other deductions other than maybe mortgage interest. And they don't have mortgage interest, almost all of them, you know.
Right.
And so what do they have left? A little bit of charity they might be doing. So, but then again, those are the people that are their chairs on the deck of the Titanic are closer to the rail than the guy that's closer to the pool now, you know. So it's just a ridiculous thing. But anyway, tonight we're on an open show. So if you want to call in and ask your question about anything to do, like you say, you're at the end of the year. Now's the time to do your tax planning, Roth conversions. That's an important topic right now. HSAs, getting them filled, making sure you're maximizing your 401ks. There are lots of things you got to do.
Do QCDs maybe.
QCDs, qualified charitable distributions. You know, you got to be doing before December 31st. These are questions we could talk about. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in, ask a question. We'll be right back after this pause with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
I know this.
All right.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of your tongue.
Eagles.
No.
I was close.
Do you remember me and Julio down by the schoolyard?
That could be it, too.
Paul Simon, Kodachrome.
It was Eagles, right? You guys are lying to me. Paul Simon. Oh, well. I was close.
Hey. It's the same era.
You didn't give me enough words.
That's right.
We're on an open show. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. I've got one caller online. Plenty of opportunity for you to control the conversation tonight and direct what questions you want to hear answered tonight, 410-922-6680. We're going to Washington in Pasadena. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, hello, Drew, and I'm sorry, who's with you?
Christopher John O'Shea.
Chris, yes, hello.
Hey, Washington, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Yes, quick question. If you get two new credit cards in around the same time period, how much will that affect the credit score? How much of a hit?
It actually could help your credit score, my friend.
Really?
Yeah, actually, and I did that just recently. You know, a lot of your credit cards nowadays that you have, and I have Capital One and Chase, and they're both very active in this, where they have your credit score. You can get it automatically at any time by just going on to one of their credit score, whatever they call them. And they have simulators on there. My credit score was pretty good, but, you know, I was looking at, well, simulator, what could I do that was better? And they said, well, your availability of credit isn't high enough. Well, I don't carry a lot of credit. I don't need a lot of credit. So, but it said, if you increase a credit card's limit, you'll actually improve your credit score. So I did. And I think my credit score went up by like 15 points.
No kidding.
With, you know, by increasing the credit line from like, I don't know, I think I had it relatively low at 12, up to about $20,000, $25,000. I think it went to $25,000. And my credit score went up by about 10 or 15 points.
Right. So, those are existing credit cards, right?
No. It's just the availability of credit that mattered. And then I got another credit card. I had Capital One only. And then I got a Chase card. And when I got that, it went up another 5 points. So sometimes it depends, though. You're absolutely correct, Washington. If you have too much credit available and then you get another card or two, that could turn around and be a negative. So to answer the question, I would strongly suggest you go to your credit card and see if they have these credit score availabilities with a simulator on it and see if that simulator will tell you what would happen if you did get another credit card or two, because they have like, I think they had like 8 different simulations that I could play with, you know, like I didn't make a payment, what would happen, you know, or I got a new credit card, what would happen, and so forth. So it's pretty cool, and it's good stuff if you have that available to you.
Right, because I'm thinking of adding a 2 and then going ahead and freezing the credit. One, you mentioned Capital One, because they have no foreign transaction fees, which is really nice.
Oh, that is good. That's very good. So you plan any travel foreign there, Washington?
Oh, just planning ahead.
There you go.
And, right?
Right. He's a planner.
Hey.
That's, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, good question.
Well, thank you very much, Drew and Chris, and you both have a happy Thanksgiving.
You do the
thank
same,
you,
my
sir.
Friend.
Do the same.
Take care. We're on an open show tonight. No callers online. Chris and I are going to sit here and bore ourselves.
Never boring. We're talking finance and Paul Simon and the Eagles.
Yeah, right, the Eagles. Anyway, if you want to call in and direct the conversation away from Paul Simon and the Eagles for me, that would be greatly appreciated. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about was... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, after
that,
you, Chip.
Was that since... One thing that's good to at least see what they're talking about down in Capitol Hill about the tax laws. You know, for instance, the qualified charitable distributions, that you know that they're not talking about doing anything with that. They're not going to change that.
Right.
So they may talk about some things that may impact it, that may, in fact, give more reasons to do it.
You want to explain to the listeners what we're talking about? Is this a private conversation for the two of us?
Yeah. Hey, Chris, what do you think? That's Chris, the producer. So they made permanent last year the ability, once you reach 70 and a half, and you have to turn 70 and a half.
You actually have to physically be 70 and a half years of age.
Right.
Okay.
So that if you, it's a way of taking your required minimum distribution, so you have to take out a certain portion of your IRA every year, because Uncle Sam hasn't been able to tax that yet, and they want to tax it. So you have to take out a certain amount every year, even if you don't want to. And many people just go ahead and they don't spend it, but they take it out, have to, you know, have the taxes withheld, and they go on from there. Well, if you're charitably minded and you're going to be giving away money anyway, you can take money from your IRA and send it to the charity and not be taxed on it.
Right.
So
for a guy that doesn't itemize anyway, because they've made the standard deduction higher, they're going to still get the deduction for the charitable contribution by doing it from their IRA, whereas if they took the cash and just sent it off to the charity and then paid taxes on their IRA distribution, they're losing big time, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Exactly right.
And so the qualified charitable distribution is already something that we strongly encourage every single one of our clients that are charitably minded. Nobody should do a qualified charitable distribution because they think they're going to save tax dollars.
Right.
You got to be charitably minded. So if you typically go to church and you give a church $2,000 a year and you got to take $8,000 out of an IRA that you don't really use and you're likely not to itemize anyway, you had to just send $2,000 to the charity and take the other $6,000 to yourself, and bam, you've got an incredible tax savings there. It's a brilliant strategy, but too few people are taking advantage of it. And you know why a lot of advisors don't want to talk to their clients about this?
Is
it's work. Well, who wants to work if you're a financial advisor? Well, you don't have to work, Chris. You play golf and you go out and look for another guy, you know, to get their money invested. That's all what you do as a financial advisor.
Because record keeping is difficult on the whole thing, the transaction.
Yeah, that's why, you know, most of the people that come in to see us, they don't have Roth IRAs, because it's work.
Yeah.
Who the heck wants to work if you're a financial advisor? You just want to go look for another guy that's got money, you know?
Yeah.
Who wants to do a qualified charitable distribution? You just want to go out and play golf or fish or, you know, go to Florida and live, you know, half of the year. That's what a lot of them do. They're financial advisors. That's what you do. We're a bunch of sucks, you know. We're suckers. We're the suckers of the world.
Yeah.
We have to work for a living.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
A mini rant.
I'm just saying.
Tell us what you really think, Drew.
Nick in Elkridge. Hey, Nick, you do like our new song now, right?
Oh, yeah, I do like music. All the old stuff, the 50s and the 60s.
All right, that's good. What's up? What can we help you with?
Look, Drew, I own two homes, one here in Baltimore that I've been in since 1996, and my name is on the title by itself. I'm divorced.
But it's your personal residence, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I have another home, a second home in Rehoboth Beach that I bought in 2007.
Okay.
And I'm kind of leaning towards selling the one at the beach. What I want to do is try to take advantage of the $250,000 capital gain exclusion.
Right.
On both my houses.
Okay.
And my vehicles are all registered in Delaware, titled in Delaware and registered there. My voting registration is here in Maryland. I work here in Maryland.
Your Maryland home right now would be considered your personal residence. So you can sell your Maryland home right now and take the $250,000 capital gain exclusion.
Right. And then I can transfer my residence to Delaware. And do I have to physically, even though I've owned the home for 10 years, do I have to physically stay in it for three years?
No. All you have to do is claim it as your personal residence. You have to file your taxes there. You have to, you know, vote down there. You know, and things of that sort. But
you don't have to do that for like 1 year.
You have to do it for 2 years.
2 years?
2 years. But now keep in mind, Nick, if they pass this new tax law, all that's going to change to a 5-year requirement. So
the way it's in there right now.
Yeah. So be careful. I mean, right now the law is 2 years. So
right.
You could sell your house today, November 15th, move to Delaware November 16th, and then 2 years, November 16th, 2019, sell the Delaware home and get another $250,000 exclusion.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, now keep in mind, Nick, you got to look at, well, do you actually have gains in those houses, both of them?
Yeah. The one in Elkridge, I probably have at least $250,000 in gains, and the one down the beach, I probably have $200,000 in gains.
Well, then you're a smart man. You need to be doing this, you know?
Yeah, you probably know it, but remember, too, any kind of improvements that you did, any kind of thing that you did preparing it for sale, plus real estate commissions, anything that you had to do to sell it, you've got
right.
to adjust. The gain can be eaten into and reduced.
Right. All right, Nick, I got to run.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Good call. Good thinking. He's a smart guy looking to do that. We got to take a pause. We'll be right back to answer your questions. Money, Richard, well, take it away, traffic.
You need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Already gone?
I'm already gone.
Why? Where are they already gone from? Anyway.
Sanity.
We're here on an open show. We're taking your calls, answering your questions. It's a good thing I know something about finance because I don't know anything about music, obviously. Thomas in Denton, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Thomas, how can we help you, sir?
You're almost all gone with the Titanic.
There you go.
He's been listening.
He has. What's up, sir? How can we help you?
Let me ask you a question here. We're talking about this corporate taxes.
Yep.
Dropping down from what, 35% down to 20%?
Yep.
All across the water, getting 12, 15%.
Yeah.
Now, why would I go and take my business, bring it on back here, if I'm a $300 million business and I got to pay the difference? It don't make no sense. I'm already established across the water, only paying the dime or 12%.
Well, what we don't know is what deductions that they allow over there, and you're talking about maybe 5, 8% differential, so it at least brings us in the ballpark, you know, and so forth.
Repatriation, I think they're talking about a one-time 5%.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a possibility, too. But at least they bring us into the ballpark, you know. I hear what you're saying, Thomas. And
I would have to be pretty stupid to do that. I mean, you could take, like, the furniture company. What's it? Ike, I think the name is.
Yeah.
That makes that cardboard furniture.
Yep.
They just went over there and threw up, like, 700 systems.
I'm sure IKEA appreciates that, cardboard furniture. IKEA, he did. What's your name again? Can you give us your last name?
Yeah, they just went over there and threw 750 condos over there across the water instead of building them over here. See, you know, it don't make no sense.
Yeah, but you know, if you think about it,
lose some money.
If you think about it, Thomas, why do you tax corporations at all? Because corporations are just going to build it into the cost of their business, aren't they?
Yeah, supposedly, but that ain't the big number they ain't looking at.
Yeah, well, you know, you should do is tax consumption, and no matter where they consume, what they consume, then you tax consumption, and that's really where you can drive without worrying about who's going to cheat out of this or who's going to cheat out of that. So, but I hear what you're saying. Your point's well taken.
If that's what they're all waiting for, to pass this tax thing, I mean, they keep on talking this, and then it goes to the Senate, and it goes back, and you never know what they're going to do. The people don't find out nothing. They just end up getting ripped off. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Rich or the poor.
Right.
And they need to get rid of capital gains completely.
Well, you know, there's people that would definitely favor that with you. Well, I appreciate your comments there, buddy. You take care.
Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Huh?
All right. Same to you. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be here next week, the night before Thanksgiving, we'll be talking. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to direct the conversation your way, like Thomas just did, 410-922-6680. And Paul wants to talk about real estate. Paul, how can we help you?
Drew, how you doing?
Doing great. And you?
Drew, I bought a house about 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I had it financed, and my name is on the title, the deed, and the mortgage payment is directly, I have to pay him. Now, my fiance's name was on it, but we about ready to break up. What do I have to do to sell the house?
Well, whose name's on the deed?
My name is on the deed, and that's all I see is my name, and my name is, I'm responsible paying the mortgage also. Her name is not on none of that mortgage stuff.
Her name's not on the mortgage, not on the deed.
Right.
You can do anything you want. She's in serious doo-doo.
Look, I might make a mistake. She might be on the deed. You know, when we finance the house, they put both of our names on it.
Here, I'll tell you if she's on the deed. Do you mind giving me the address or you want to do it?
The 406 North Bend.
All right, let me see. Hold on one second with
me. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21229.
All right, hold on. Real...
So you think there's a chance that she's not only
North and a bin.
So you think there's a chance she's not only on the deed, that she's on the mortgage also?
No, she's not on the mortgage. They sent it directly to me. I've been responsible for the mortgage for the last 15 years. Her name, she's not responsible for the mortgage.
Is that in the city, you said?
Yes.
All right. And we're going to do address. 21229?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 21... Oh, that's the zip code. What's the street number?
406 North Bend.
Two words or one?
Two words. 406.
I got it.
North like in North Star, then Bend like in B-E-N-D.
You go by Ollie?
Right.
All right. Her name's on there with you.
Right.
So you're both on there. So, you know, it depends on, you know, how you're titled, but...
But the mortgage, I'm totally responsible for it. You know, the mortgage company don't ask her for no money. I've been paying it for 15 years.
Well, you know, you'd have to find out if she is on the mortgage. Normally, a mortgage company... Okay, well, then she's not. But you see, the house can't be sold without her signature.
Right.
And so you either have to get her to agree to it, or you have to get a lawyer to take her to court and force liquidation of the property.
Right.
So you take your choice.
Right, I will. One more question. My mother just passed away, and her deed is with powers, and my name is on. Do I have to do anything with that?
No. Is she passed away? No.
Yep.
She did.
She did pass away, and the deed. Is my name is on it with power.
Right.
He says with power.
So it's a life estate deed that when mom passes away, you are the successor owner of the house.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. I mean, you know, that house is technically yours whether you change the deed now or not.
What about the tax situation?
You have to pay the taxes.
Well,
you're solely responsible for them.
Well, I do. But with the taxes, it might be different when she was living or... It could be more, but I'm taking over the house. What you think?
Well, you know, there is a homestead tax credit in Maryland and when a house, but I don't know that that affects anything if it's just inherited to another family member. Okay. So I don't think that there's a change in that. That's a good one. I have not ever addressed that as to whether Maryland has a right to change the taxes on that, but I don't think they do.
Well, I'll pay the taxes. I'll pay the water bill. I'll pay the ground rent. I'll pay everything like she was living.
Right. Yeah, so you're the owner. You know, there's nothing you have to do, nothing you have to worry about at this point in time. It's, you know, if they ever question it, then you have to think about it. But right now, I wouldn't worry about it.
Right. That's why I call you, Drew, to make sure I'm in the right direction.
You're headed in the great direction, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
All right. You take care. That's a good question, you know. I know we got time here. We got to go. But some interesting things he was dealing with.
Sure.
Anyway, we have to take a last pause of the night. But if you want to get on and be prepared to ask your question and lead the conversation, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Lines are all open. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. One of these times I'm going to surprise you guys. I know this one, too. Not the Grateful Dead, either. No. I should get that cell phone app where I just put the song up and boom, it tells me who it is, you know? But I'm not going to do that because I want to play fair. What is this song? Santana, there you go. Black Magic Woman. You know, our original theme song to Money, Riches, and Wealth in the 90s was Pink Floyd Money. Right. Classic song, you know? Anyway. Hey, we're on an open show tonight. I've got a couple callers online, but I just want to talk to Paul in West Baltimore. He just called in about real estate. Chris had a great point that he made. If his mother had been filing for a senior discount, in other words, a tax credit for seniors, you have to be over 65, you have to have low income based on the amount of taxes you're paying on your house. If she had filed for that and said, you know, hey, I've got these lower, you know, now you have to file that every year. So that's probably a way that he would not be able to continue to get that. But he, you know, if she died early in the year, and she had gotten that credit, okay, he would then be recipient of that, even though he's not supposed to be the recipient anymore. So I guess you just have to be careful that if his mother did file for that and got something, he would have to let the state know that she's passed away so that they can adjust that tax back to whatever it should be. So anyway, good point, Chris.
And potentially expect a higher bill, right?
Spivey in Woodlawn. Is that your real name or is that your call-in name? Right, he's not even there. I can't even ask him the question. Spivey, you sure you got that right, Chris? He's probably listening to me right now thinking, that's not me. My name's Bill. Who's Spivey? in Woodlawn, Pets and Taxes. All right, we're going. Leaving them alone. Oops. We're going to John and Glen Burnie, Change in Child Emancipation and Taxes.
Yes. Last year, my son, who's 13, I paid him a salary, and it worked out that I emancipated him. My accountant worked it out both ways. I would pay less taxes if I didn't, because I didn't get any credit for him being a dependent.
Okay.
But I emancipated him, and he paid less taxes. I put the money into a Roth IRA for him.
Now, let me explain something. What you're talking about, I don't think your accountant got it right, but okay. So what you're saying is you didn't file him as an exemption on your return.
Correct.
He took himself as an exemption on his return. Is that correct?
That's correct, and he filed his own taxes.
Okay. Now, let me explain, because this is important that your accountant did this right. At your child's age, and even if he was up to, you know, maybe 19 or 20-some years of age, at your child's age, the only thing you could have done, John, is you could have taken him off of your return, paid him a salary, let him pay his taxes on his own tax return, but he would not be able to take himself as an exemption on his return.
Okay, well, I'm... Actually, what I paid him almost came out to what he put into his IRA.
Yeah, and that's fine because he wouldn't need his personal exemption because the first $6,000 of wage income is tax-free to him. So your accountant probably got it right. I think just the words you're using were just made me want to just clarify that. But you're absolutely right. That's a good thing to do. We encourage our clients who have businesses to always do that.
So anyway, my question is, this year I turned 66, and I don't want him to be emancipated because I can collect Social Security on him until he turns 18 and finishes high school.
See, but that doesn't have anything to do if you file a tax return claiming him as a dependent or not.
Right.
The question is he your legal child, and are you collecting Social Security? That's the only issue that Social Security cares about, not who's paying taxes and getting the exemption for him.
Oh, I see. So it doesn't make a difference. I can do the same thing next year for 2017 as I did in 2016, and he can still collect Social Security on my account.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's the same thing, like, for example, is he on your medical insurance policy? He's got to be a dependent of yours. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's got to be a dependent on your income tax return. You just have to prove that you're providing more than 50% of his support. And with the Social Security Administration, it's even easier. You just have to prove that he's under, I think it's 17 years of age, and that he is your legal child. That's it.
Right. That's it. Okay, they tell me 18 until he finishes high school.
That's yes, correct. That is correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah, when he finishes high school, I can collect Social Security.
Yeah, and so if he doesn't finish high school until 18 and three quarters, you can collect it all the way up to then. And I think 19 is the oldest he can be. If he's over 19, even if he hasn't finished high school, you know, then you're out, you know? All right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, John. Good question. It's interesting how all these little components interact
sure.
with each other, you know, because you're getting medical insurance up to age 26 and you're thinking, well, they've got to still be my dependent in order to get that, you know, but that's not true any longer. They can file their own tax return or, you know, but what he's doing is a brilliant strategy for business owners.
Sure.
You know, get a business owner who's got excess cash flow. He doesn't need it all that he's doing. He pays his child a salary. The child gets the salary, and they take it and put it into a Roth IRA. You start that at, like, the age he's talking about, 13, 14 years of age for a kid, and he's putting in $1,000 or $5,000 in a Roth IRA? I mean, we're talking boatloads of money the kid's going to have when he's 50, 60 years old.
And, yeah, and don't touch it, right?
Don't touch
sure.
it, and 100% tax-free, so, you know, until they change the law on you.
Yeah, now, one thing going back to what he said from Baltimore, Ollie. He said
his name was Paul from West Baltimore.
There you go. So
not Spivey,
right?
We don't know if he was real or not.
But having both people on the deed versus only having one on the mortgage,
It happens.
I know. It's crazy, though.
No, but, you know, it depends on the situation, you know.
Sure.
If you have one spouse that could blow the mortgage application because they've got a horrible credit, you know, you may only want one name on there. There's times that you do that, but it's rare, you know, especially if you're not married to the person and they're on the house with you. You know, that's the worst of all scenarios. I always tell my clients.
From a bank standpoint.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I understand. But I always tell my clients who aren't married.
Sure.
Don't ever buy a house with somebody you're not married to,
right,
unless you're investors together. If you're investors together, that's a different story.
Sure.
But if you're two people coming together to live together as companions,
it's a residence.
Then one person
has
the name on the house, the other person doesn't. That way, if it breaks up, you know, whoever doesn't have their name on the house, they knew in advance they're on the way out. That's the way it works. It's pretty simple. Anyway, or either that or draw up a partnership agreement saying that if this happens, then this is what happens to the house. The house is instantly has to be sold within 3 months of when we decide no longer to be a couple anymore. Boom. End of the story. You got a contract.
Right.
You know, but too few people listen to me. I'm like a lone wolf.
Voice calling in the desert.
Well, I would never go that far, Chris. That is too high a standard for myself, you know? But anyway, we're here on an open show, and we're finished our open show. Next week, we're going to, what are we going
to
do? Next week, we're doing Thanksgiving.
Matt Stevens.
With Somebody Cares Baltimore, right?
Sure.
And so we believe charitable giving is extremely important in a person's financial planning. That personal financial advising or, you know, somebody doing their personal financial planning should be charitably minded. There should be a certain portion. I don't care if it's 1% or 50%. There should be something charitably
minded.
Well, it gets
back to your whole picture about what is money about.
And absolutely. And there is a funny thing that happens is a person who's charitably minded tends to be wealthier than a person who isn't charitably minded at all. And I can prove that. And there are statistics to prove that, too. Anyway, we're finished with our show tonight. And, you know, Chris, you were the one that recommended this song.
It's a great song.
It's not the Eagles. James Taylor. Shower the people you love with love, Chris.
There you go.
Anyway, it's Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.